بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. After Asr Salah, when I spoke, it was regarding how you must live with Quran, how you must enjoy Quran. When I was young, I used to enjoy when someone would read Quran in a very slow pace, like how Hazrat Mufti Sahib read now. But I used to always wonder, like, why the Imam reads so slowly? Is it so people will learn the huruf, the letters? Will they learn how to say the maharij? Then I used to hear people saying, Subhanallah, Allah, Allah. I used to also wonder, like, why are they saying it? Later on I learned that they're saying it because the beauty of Quran, even if you don't know the meaning, is beautiful. However, when I started learning the meaning of Quran, there were certain times where I felt that when that person is saying Subhanallah, the verse, the meaning of it don't go with Subhanallah. But because you would see that the person now is, he doesn't know. So the only thing he can say, and Almighty Allah appreciates everything. Almighty Allah appreciates. But I always thought that if this man at the moment now knew what is being read in such a beautiful, slow manner, not only will he say Subhanallah, he will cry also. He will fall down crying. So we spoke about after Asr Salah, how an effort now must be made, and our desire is in the next few years this effort must become big, that people start relating with Quran. In the field of Quran, there is one field which is known as i'tibar, to be able to draw lessons from Quran. Allah Tabarakallah has made this kitab, this book, most miraculous. So I will give you an example of how sometimes I relate with Quran, you will relate with Quran like this. An individual was sitting in the jail in Pakistan, a politician. So he was very upset about a lot of things, and then someone gave him a translation of the Quran. And they even told him, you know, this translation was written by one scholar when he was in jail. So he wrote it in jail, you read it in jail. So he wasn't too thrilled with that sentence, but when you're in jail, what else are you going to do? So he was very upset, like, number one, the other of thoughts, when you're in jail, you start thinking about the house, about your family, about the one who did you down. So he writes, my brother Imran quoted this entire passage, the details of it, I don't know really, but the crux of it was, he says things would trouble him during the day. He would ask himself questions. That's why a person goes in depression. They talk too much to themselves. He says, but whenever he would open Quran, random, he would just open. And as he would start reading the translation, whatever he asked himself, he would see it. And then he gave some examples. Like, he says, the one day he just troubled me. Like, I was so good to my family. How much I spent, but not one like letter has reached me from them. It can't be that they forgot about me. And he opened, and Allah Tabarakallah turned the page to يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ, that there'll be a day when man will run away from his brother. Each one will be in his own worries, he won't have time for anyone else. He said, that's what's happening now. They forgot about me. Like that. He says, I used to think of something. Turn the page. Quran is like that. When this bombing in the land of Gaza started, now it's already about 2 months, definitely thoughts go to the believers. A lot of thoughts. So I will just relate to you a few thoughts that go, or would go through my mind. And as I would read Quran, then I would say, amazing, like, so this is not called the translation of Quran, and this is definitely not a tafsir. It is called al-i'tibar, taking lessons from Quran. The Muslim armies have already survived for 1,400 years. But during this time, there were many times where the enemy were much stronger than the Muslim. There were times where they came like bulldozers. They were wiping everything away. And sometimes people would say, this is the end. There's no way you can stand against such powers. Already 2 months have gone. The non-Muslim world, forget the Muslim world, the non-Muslim world is in shock. How does a small group in such a small place survive against an onslaught for so many days? And the second question is, can they manage to survive it any longer? One is surviving so much, that itself is victory. We have certain games, they say you don't have to beat the opponent. How long can you stand against him? That's all. If you can just manage to stay that horse, which is called that wild horse, or that bull, that man doesn't have to stay on the bull, they call it rodeo. He's going to fall off the bull. He just has to survive on that bull maybe for 1 minute or 1.5 minutes. Then when that bull sends him flying, he bangs on the floor, he jumps up, he says, I won, I won. The bull even looks at him like, what you want? He says, I managed you for 1 minute. Finish. This group managed that power for already 2 months. Already they can put up their flags of victory and say, have you ever seen a victory like this? But the thought will also go, how long? And when the time ever come where they are able to destroy that, Allah Tabarakala, then, while the thought played in my mind, and that is why I asked Hazrat Musa to start with this surah. You have to understand Quran. The word ra'a yara means to see. Alam tara means have you not seen? Now you normally tell someone, have you not seen, when he's asking a question, and you're telling him, what you're asking for, come I'll give you another example. So Allah Tabarakala said, Alam tara, have you not seen? كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ How your Rabb dealt with the people of the elephant. It was elephants against simple men. It was regarded as impossible. Everyone was moving away. Who could fight against the army of the elephant? Allah Tabarakala said, didn't you see? Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka, that word kayfa means how. How means in what an amazing manner your Rabb dealt with the people of the elephant. Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Kayd means their plot. When I was small, I knew the incident of Abraha. That Abraha put up one temple, and he said to the people, come and worship in my temple, or some your amazement, don't go to the Kaaba. And then I heard some Arabs came and they messed up his temple. Abraha became angry. And Abraha said, I'm going to break your Kaaba. But this word kaid, kaid means their plot. Plot means they was planning before this. In the books of Tafsir, they explain, Abraha never only put up that temple to make the people come away from the Kaaba. Abraha put it so that one Arab would mess it. After the Arab would mess it, Abraha could then tell the other Arabs, you all messed mine, I'm going to mess up yours. He wanted it messed. That is why we don't even know if an Arab messed it or one of his own men messed it up. Why he wanted it? There was a trade route. When I read this, I said, from that era, money was always the issue. There was a trade route which the Arab, the Quraysh especially, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had created a route. People were coming for the Hajj. The one son, the thought came in his mind, I'm looking after them, let's make friends. You're giving them zamzam, you're giving them shelter. They respect you, you're the man of the Kaaba. So he said, you know, if my caravan has to come on the route, your tribe is there. If it stops over, definitely stop over. You look after me, I look after you. His caravan could stop at so many places, there was no taxes. No one would attack his caravan. His caravan created a route. He became so famous. He needed his brothers to join him. So he said, one caravan will go in this way, one will go in that way, you take over this one. He created his own route. Now the Romans wanted that route. How to get the route? You have someone in the land of the Arabs close by. You have to make an attack on those people in charge of the route. But you can't just go attack them. The Arabs will become upset. You have to make a story. Throughout history, we have seen the story. But suddenly an attack takes place. They go wild. They say, how dare you attack us? But they were planning from before for the attack. 9-1-1 was, World War was, and the first, what they call 8th of October, was definitely one. They wanted the attack so that they could launch a major attack. That is called a qaid. Qaid means a ploy. Allah Ta'ala says, but how it is that Allah made the qaid fi tabliil go the other way around. How Allah made the qaid go the other way around. Israel ended. Everything supposed to go according to plan. 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, game over, we took it. They had already given a contract for Gaza. Everything supposed to go, Allah says, did he not make the qaid fi tadlil go upside down? How it went upside down? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ He sent upon them. Arsala, Rasul comes from this word. Alayhim, upon them. I mentioned after Asr, we created this course now where we want people to link with the words. You don't have to be a master of the Arabic language, basic words. When you will understand the word, you will enjoy the surah. And he sent upon them tayran, birds. Elephants and birds, forget the birds. The bird could have come to bite them. The strength of the beak, flocks of birds. Allah Ta'ala said, forget the bird. Tarmihim bi hijara. The bird pelted them with stones. Huge elephants, small stones. When the battle started, people asked, how is it possible for a group that got nothing to defeat a military that got the weapons of the best of militaries of the world? Some of these soldiers themselves later on said, we never knew the power of this one rocket launcher or missile launcher of ours. One man said, this thing cost about $300. That tank in front cost so much, perhaps a million or more. This man just shoots one of this. He never himself perhaps thought it had the power to blow up that whole tank. Allah Ta'ala said, did you see that stone which went through the elephant? أَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ He sent upon them birds in flocks. They pelted them with bihijara. When they pelted them, if Allah wanted to, those people could have died there. They could have died and it would have been a sign for humanity. Look at them dead. The books of Tafsir explain they never die. Allah Ta'ala kept them alive to suffer. They would die on the route going back. They started running in all directions. On the way, pieces of their body was falling off. It's rotting and falling, but they're not dying. It was going to be a slow, terrible death. The amount of these soldiers that have died in recent time, that itself is lots. But the hospitals of Israel don't want to say the amount of Israeli soldier patients who are going mad, who are getting sick skin diseases. They are now looking at what is this new disease, where did it come up, this inflammation from within. Sometimes it's the eye that's troubling, sometimes it's the skin, the mind is going out. Those numbers, they're not going to say a slow lingering death under the punishment of Allah. Tarmihim bihijara, they pelted them with that stones, small stones. Faja'alahum, and he made them ka'as. As means when the cow eats and eats, and then sometimes it even like takes it out, or when it just chews and chews, and you will see it, sometimes it falls, eaten up. When you will just see it, you look at it and you just feel dirty. This verse was so unique because just at that time when I was looking at the surah, the discussion came that how many of the Muslims already passed away and there is no intizam preparation for their burial. But their bodies are not going off. And at the same time they explained that there's a certain like freezer in which the Israeli bodies were being kept. And themselves they wrote that the stench that is coming from the rot that is in there. And I thought of this verse, he made them like the dirt that the cow takes out. And the old person pulls back. He doesn't want to go nearby. He said, you go, you go. When friends went to Afghanistan, the one person said to them, his job was to drive the car of the martyrs. He said he would drive it with his window open. Because the smell of musk was so strong, he had to open the window for it to go out. Smell of musk. People smelt it. This is Alam Tara Kaifa. So you will try to get this words, Alam Tara, did you not see how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephant? Did he not make their plans upside down, fi tadlil, and he sent upon them birds in groups, ababil, pelting them with that stones, bihijara, min sijil, from clay, and he made them like that eaten up grass, faj'alahum ka'asfin ma'kul. Now when he will read these verses, I want you to think of this, that Allah Tabarakallah saying to you, have you not seen it also? And then enjoy the power of Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول.
Then the thought troubled me that if someone wanted to stop this war, it would have been the Arab. They are the people of the Baytullah. They are by the house of Almighty Allah. They're supposed to have the first, and they got the power. They can stop it immediately. And then I looked at the next surah where Allah Ta'ala said, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ meant that the Quraysh now were enjoying the best of times on the trade routes. رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Summer and winter, they could make their businesses. All of it was because of the Kaaba. Because of the Kaaba, they looking after the Kaaba, the routes were made open for them. They were protected from Abraha. The people respected them. Even thieves would not attack the caravan. But when Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a call to the Rabb of the house of Allah, that very family, the Quraysh, were the ones who opposed him. Allah Tabarakallah said, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, like, due to the Quraysh enjoying the best of times, everyone would have expected them, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. They should be the best of worshippers of this house. But it's not always like that. When the Khilafah collapsed, at that time Allah Tabarakallah made it, it had to be a person from the Quraysh who worked with the British to bring the Khilafah down. They created what is known as the Hashemite Kingdom. They worked with Israel for so many years to ensure that Israel is protected. It had to be someone from the Quraysh. But as Allah Ta'ala made it, where one person from the Quraysh could not live up to his promise to the house of Allah, it was another person from the Quraysh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was going to show the honor of the house of Allah. Where we today saw one group from the Quraysh first when the Khilafah fell, and thereafter what they call the people who look after the house of Allah. And we ask, always ask, that you all are the first people, forget looking after the house of Allah, millions, billions you got. Look after the people who make tawaf around this house. You would say, now where are you now? You're just quiet, you're enjoying yourself, you're on a holiday, you got no feeling. So the next surah was to say, everyone would have expected, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Whereas one from the Quraysh could not live up to it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, that the hour will not come until a man from my progeny, meaning a man from the Quraysh, again will stand. History will repeat itself. He said, an individual who fitna has not touched, pure in nature, in a single night Allah's attention will focus towards him. And Allah will bless him with that ability, that courage, that thought, and he will be ready to make that step forward. It's all going to happen. But just when I thought about it, like, why they don't? And I saw, li'i lafi Quraysh. This is how it is. So we will not go into the detail of that and ara'ayt al-ladhi. Now we will just go into the next one. That I felt sorry for the people who are on the receiving end. Me and you are not on the receiving end really, but we also like feel bad. That we want to do something, but someone will mock at us. We don't have that power. We don't know what to do. Sometimes the man goes in a depression. And definitely those that are seeing the war. How do you think they feel? Then I saw this surah. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. That indeed we have given you more than enough of good. It was said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he conquered Makkah Mukarramah, when he was going through difficulty. It was said to him that the outside picture is a picture of difficulty. Kawthar we translated as the house, the pond. Kawthar means khair kathir, lot of goodness. In lot of goodness, the goodness of this world, ulama explained, one was deen, one was Quran, one was iman entering the heart, one was the chance of shahada or having family as martyrs, one was for your blood to be accepted in the court of Allah. Khayr kathir, that as soon as your eye will close, you will not even feel your soul coming out, it will already be in the green birds flying into Jannah. Khayr kathir, goodness, as soon as you will open your eyes in the grave, the angel will say, you've done more than enough. You are martyr, we cannot even ask you questions. Khayr kathir, abundance of goodness, where the man would say, a poet, that I just want to be able to drink one sup from your hand, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sharbatam min yadayk, lastu arju siwa. That kawthar which was promised to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that pond, from Jannah, that river falling into that pond, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got for his entire ummah. This word, inna, indeed we have given you, where you referred to first Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah in the beauty of Quran put the word ka. Ka means you. It meant to the martyr, I have given you more than enough. It meant to the person living under difficult times, and he doesn't know whether I'm going to see tomorrow, and then he opens up. On the previous page he said, don't worry, don't you know what your Allah did to the people of the elephant? As for you, Allah Tabarakala said, what are you worried about? I've given you more than enough. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. What you have to do is, for your Allah's salah, make salah for your Allah. Wanhar, nahar, the Arabs understood nahar means to slaughter the camel. One is zabah, you slaughter it this way. But if an animal has a very thick skin like a buffalo, you don't slaughter this way, you stab it. You need to get the knife in. The camel also is stabbed, that's called nahar. In nahar there's blood. In zabah, slaughtering, there's blood in nahar, but the Arabs had camels. So in the slaughter there's blood, and when you slaughter the camel with the stab, the blood from the camel just like flies out. Nahar then took the meaning of sacrifice, even if it means your blood has to be spilt. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ. We have given you more than enough. So perform salah for your Allah and be ready to sacrifice. There were people in the past, they fought against the enemy. They were caught. They were told, you are going to be now executed. They said, if you allow it, let me read 2 rakats. فَصَلِّي لِرَبِّكَ. The last action wanted to be, I'll read salah for my Rabb. And then one har, let me and let me cut here and let the blood come from Allah. They went to that level. The normal translation is, perform salah for your Rabb and be ready to sacrifice. Inna shania, as for the one who hates you, and in that country, the one who stopped you from water, stopped you from food, stopped you from basic medication, put such a siege against you that nothing can reach you. They cut you out from everyone in the Arabic language to cut out. The Arabs, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's son passed away, they said he has been cut, meaning his lineage is cut. This word cut. Allah Ta'ala said, your enemy, Huwal Abtar, he is going to be the one who's truly cut off. He'll be cut off one day from any water. He'll find himself on the plains of Qiyamah, begging for a sup. He'll find himself in a place called Jahannam, begging for a sup. وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُ, when you will scream for water, يُغَاثُ bima, then the angel will say, I can help you out with water. كَالْمُهُلْ, it will be like that boiling pus, boiling oil. بِئْسَ الشَّرَاب, Allah says, what a terrible drink. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, forget the drink, the glass will be so hot. As it will come close to his mouth, it will burn the lip. The lip will swell. He'll pull back, I don't want the drink. It will be the pus of the people. Kalmuhl, like that boiling oil. I don't want it. He'll pull back, the angel will pour it. As it will go, it will burn. It will go through the body. It will take holes in the body. It will start pouring out from every part of the body. It will melt in. Quran, beautiful. بِئْسَ الشَّرَاب. What a terrible drink it is. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. Rift means, I need a rest. You're driving on the road, you say, I need to stop over. Get me a coffee. That's called مُرْتَفَق. مُرْتَفَق means a place to take rest. Allah Ta'ala said, if this is going to be the relaxing moment of that man, then you can understand what happens after this. This will be the time when he just says, I need my water, and the angel says, no problem. If this is the relaxing moment, Sa'at Murtafaqa, Inna Shani'aka, your enemy, Huwa Al-Abtar, he's going to be cut. You will hear this, Inna A'tayna'ka, Ka means you. Inna means verily we, Almighty Allah is speaking. A'tayna gave. It's referring to those martyrs. It's referring to every one of us. Sometimes we also want to complain too much. Allah Ta'ala says, I have given you more than enough. It's just that we blind to it. Said, you perform your salah and be ready to sacrifice. Even if the whole world is your enemy, they're going to get cut. You connected. إن شانئك هو الأبتر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ.
The last surah that I will explain to you now, which may Allah tabarak ta'ala make it inspirational for all of us, especially in these what they call festival periods. Already you will understand the meaning of the surah. The Almighty Allah is saying, when I have given you so much, you yourself not happy with the group before. He's saying, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with them? Can't they see reality? They're pushing away the orphan. فَذَٰلِكَ الَّذِي يَتُحُّ الْيَتِيمِ. They can't even make a claim. People are dying of starvation in that house. Allah says, وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. They'll never ever tell someone, let's feed that poor person. Because they don't really believe in this deen. They don't believe in this deen. But you see, but I see them performing salah. Allah Ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. That musalli who doesn't want to go to his salah. And if he goes, he just does it for the show, for the camera. He just wants to show the people, I'm here. Otherwise, he's as stingy as anything. Allah says, this is a man who doesn't believe. That's أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. We are on the next page. The Almighty Allah says, I have given you more than enough. So we're all happy. More than enough we got. The one who got more than enough, Allah Ta'ala says, you must be ready to say, قُلْ. قُلْ means say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O people of kufr, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I can never worship that what you worship. You will never be able to do what I'm doing, but I will never be able to do what you're doing. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ. You will remain on your way. I can't stop you. I can't scream and tell you, quiet, quiet, you're making noise. وَلِيَ دِينُ. But you must not be able to force me also. I will stay on my way. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ means say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O non-believer, O kafir, O disbeliever. But when we mean it, who we say it? We say it to ourselves. Why we say it to ourselves? To tell ourselves, this is what my practical life must be showing to the world of kufr. لَا أَعْبُدُ. I cannot do what you're doing. When you will carry on saying this, because you're not saying it to the non-believer with your tongue, you have to say it with your life. I will give you an example of this. This is some research that if you want to also, you can make it. Nowadays nothing is hidden in the world. When I was small, I used to also wonder. Many things I thought about when I was small, when I grew up, I got answers. Nowadays people don't wonder of anything. Because they're always on YouTube and they don't think like, but we never have Google. So we had to think and we couldn't get answers. The day the answer came, we said, amazing. So one thing I used to worry about is why Santa Claus? Santa Claus was always appealing for me. Number one, especially when I read, no Christian believes there is something called Santa Claus. Because once upon a time they say he comes with through the chimney. But it was natural that every father knew his chimney is closed. Because in those closed, cold countries, if you go to Canada and it's... Nowadays they don't keep those chimneys. Like they got that other one that works without the chimney also. So if both Santa Claus, if he can't come through there, they got an alarm system. The question is, how does he come? Knowing Santa Claus doesn't come, that father would put a Christmas tree, and then the children would write their wishes. Every one of them would know Santa Claus doesn't bring it. The father would know, I have to go buy it. He would go buy it. The child would know, daddy is putting it there. Still in the morning they will come and say, Santa brought it. All of them knew no Santa. And sometimes mommy put cookies and milk there also. And then the cat came and he ate that day. All of them knew it's a lie. So I used to wonder if everyone knows it's a lie. Why they do it? So I thought it's a thing of the Christians. So one time, at that time, I thought like Santa Claus must have been someone very close amongst the disciples of Isa alayhi salam, who maybe was very generous. And on a certain day, he started going to people's houses, knocking and say, "You want present? You want present?" But then the question came, but why does he fly in the sky and go down the chimney? Just go knock at the doors. You don't have to go down the chimney. So it was recent after we graduated and I started speaking of Dajjal and the nature of Dajjal. And there were few names that interested me. In Egypt, there is a name called Horus. Horus, his symbol is the eye. That eye, if you go to Egypt and you understand that eye, that's the very eye on the dollar. In the dollar, they call it the eye of illumination. Sometimes they even say the eye of Horus. We will say the eye of Dajjal, Horus. Then there was something called Greek culture and Roman culture. In the Greek culture, there was someone known as Dionysus. Now, whether I pronounce it right, I never studied all this. Dionysus. Sometimes when I mention this, I get some boy who come and tell me, "I saw this in the cartoon." So I never saw it in any cartoon. But those cartoons were also based on what is called Greek Shaitani thought. So Dionysus, according to them, his name or his title was the Savior or the Anointed One. Anointed, another word they give it, the Messiah. Messiah is what we call in Arabic Al-Masih. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Isa alayhi salam is Al-Masih, and there is a false Masih. He is called Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal. This Dionysus was known as the Divine Child of God, the Messiah, the Savior. His birth date was recorded as the 25th of December, Dionysus. His job while flying in the sky with his animals was to illuminate the world. That word illuminate, if anyone today knows anything of shaitani circles, you will know one of the highest classes are known as the Illuminati. That we want to illuminate the world. So Dionysus would have animals at the front of his carriage, and he would fly through the skies. Dionysus. Ask a Christian today, do you really think Jesus was born on the 25th of December? There were priests who died to prove Isa alayhi salam was not born on the 25th of December. They died. But because the Christian faith was not preserved by Almighty Allah, a time came, 300 years after Isa alayhi salam's being lifted, there was a man called Constantine. 300 years after, where he told the people Jesus was born on the 25th of December. Priests died to oppose him, but they died and their blood was in vain. Islam was the only preserved faith that they never ever even thought it worth the while to tell the people that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born on the 25th of December. They could have done it. For Isa alayhi salam, it took them 300 years. And the whole Christian world believes 25th December. Oh, Islam was so divinely protected, they couldn't do that. So the most they could do is, they could bring that same Jesus born on 25th December into the Muslim world. So when 25th December comes, everyone celebrates. You ask them why, no one knows why. Some say it's the festive season. Some say it's holiday time. You say, what it got to do with the Christmas tree? We say, we don't know. You say, what it got to do with Santa Claus? That young child say, I don't know, how Santa, 30 years. What it got to do with him? We say, we don't know. You say, you saw in the Bible, Santa is a Christian. You say, it doesn't matter. That Christian might even tell you, my friend, I went to church so many times. That man in the church speaks English, but I slipped through his every sermon. So even if Santa Claus is in the Bible, I never heard that bayan. They don't know that he's not there. No Santa Claus. They were so lost in the thing, But what broke the heart is when we saw Santa Claus coming in the Muslim world. The festive season, 21st December starts. Who was born? They called it the Messiah. That was the Greek. In the Roman world, they had a different name for him. I don't know how to translate all of this. It's called Bacchus. I don't know how. B-U-C-C-H-U-S. According to them, no, he was born on the 6th of January. 6th of January. In the Egyptian world, they called him Horus. And they even showed his eye. They were sure he's born on 25th of December. When Constantine came, Constantine was a flavor of Greek and Roman. He was Roman himself. And he came to change the entire Christian faith. He brought a unique level from the Greek and the Roman to encompass the whole thing. He created the festive days from the 25th of December going into the first week of January. Let's party. Why? Because the boss has been born. Who we will say, the Antichrist. Who we will say, Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Who we will say, we're waiting for Nabi Isa alayhi salam to get rid of this rubbish. And all the problems in the world will come to an end. Imagine one day you realize Santa Claus is just another name for this individual. Everyone says, Santa, I'm waiting for you. I put my tree in your house. I wrote my wish list. Well, you bring it. And if you're hungry when you come, have some cookies. There was a reason why Islam hated the festivals of the people of the past. It was not only that the child finished one class, let's have a party. It was not that the year finished and we got prophets. Now we're happy about our prophets, let's celebrate. Every festival of theirs was deep rooted in the worship of the devil. Especially this festival of what is called going into the new year. The festive season. Finally, the Christians were brought to such a level. Now recently the Christians started realizing, I feel them sorry. But they asked one question now, Christians, after so many years, but at least they realize, but there's no one to tell them, come to Islam. Your people made you like a joke. Christians in their churches always had pictures. And what they always thought to be Jesus, a picture of Jesus. I don't know if you saw Jesus' picture. Don't look at the picture also. But you will always see he's a white man, a Roman. Now the Christians realize that Isa alayhi salam was from Banu Israel. Banu Israel, the children of Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam's family were a little darker in complexion. So now the Christians are saying, hey, what? Jesus was a European. Now they started after so many years. So I read one Christian asking this question. So whose picture is that? Now they ask. Up till now they don't know. It could have been one priest's son. Or it could have been the devil himself. They don't know whose picture it is. It was just there. But they finally, now if you go Google search, was Jesus European? Jesus wasn't European. So whose picture is that? Islam was preserved. Allah saved us from so much of liars. They could not spoil our Islam with their lie. But they brought their lie into the Muslim lands. Tonight, firecrackers will be burnt and busted in many Muslim countries of the world. It will hurt us and we will ask why. And li'ilafi Quraysh will give the answer. That really you would have thought the people of the house of Allah, they would have been the ones who worship Allah. But it's not always going to be like this. But at least for me and you, Allah Tabarakullah says, you say, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun. I cannot do what you do. Lakum dinukum. For you is your way, and for me will be my way. Inshallah, you will be fully, you will kafirun. Thereafter, Adhan will take place. May Allah Tabarakatala protect us from all evil that happens in this night. May Allah Tabarakatala show love to all the people who have come here. You are Mubarak, a selected group, that you have shown that you want to be of the next page, where inna a'tayna kalkawthar. I have given you more than enough. We just have to live on this year. Ya ayyuhal kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله. Just to end, after I read that surah, then a natural thought came to me. But Allah, like, how long is this going to take? Then I saw the next surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the help of Allah will come, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ, you will see the people entering into the deen of Allah in huge numbers. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Immediately I thought, but the forces of evil will not be happy when they will see so many people entering into Islam. They'll definitely want to stop the people. Allah, then I saw the next surah, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبْ وَتَبْ. There was a man in the past, Abu Lahab. He and his wife tried to oppose the system. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. His wealth could not help him. Whatever he planned and he gathered could not help him. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. He is going to go in the fire. His wife is going to go in the fire. They got destroyed with their own plans also. At that time I was so happy. When you're so happy, you don't know what to say. I saw the next surah which said, say, Huwa Allahu Ahad. That He is one, Allahu Samad, He is my refuge, independent. Beautiful is Quran. May Allah Tabarakallah bless us all with the taste of Quran. To really, to find answers to our questions, and to find enjoyment in the kalam, in the speech of our Creator. Wa akhiru da'wana, anilhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.